Good morning. Here we are on Labor Day weekend Sunday, the official end of summer before the beginning of the start of our program year. In every season, there is a time for every purpose under heaven, or so the saying goes, and we're getting ready to transition to a new trapeze bar. So how are you feeling this Labor Day weekend? Was it a good summer for you? Are you rested and recharged? Are you inspired to begin a new season and a new year? Or are you just happy to have the kids go back to school? Summer should be a time for recharging our batteries, shouldn't it? A time to recover from the stress of difficult jobs and high-pressure family life, getting the kids to this event or that activity. I hope you've been able to take advantage of a wonderful summer. We've been blessed with great weather, wonderful opportunities for recreating by tubing down the river, boating on the reservoirs, perhaps getting the courage to raft one of Idaho's rivers. Perhaps you took Lyndon Boyce's suggestion and got listed on the Grand Canyon and its Colorado River. Or possibly you simply took either yourself or your family away on an undemanding camping trip, just you and the mosquito repellent and your trusty stove and camping tent. Or you went fishing at some point this summer, maybe. Fly casting about, or just kerplunking for luck? Anyway, did you take time for yourself? Read a book. Maybe you replenished yourself by going to General Assembly this summer in Salt Lake City. No matter where you went or what you did you know you could be found giving out messages of yourself? It's true. Reverend Michael McGee says you don't have to be a minister to be a preacher. Each one of us is preaching every single moment of our lives. Everything we do and say is a message we're preaching to the world around us. We can say it with our t-shirts and hats, of course, but we say it even better with our actions and our words and our lives. Many of our fellow congregants took part in Paint the Town and made a difference in one woman's life. Others joined fellow church members in the Pride Parade and Fellowship's booth. In the recent past and in the near future, we worked with Habitat for Humanity. We built a first and soon a second home. Others are doing community outreach individually. McGee says when you're loving, forgiving, and affectionate to those around you, then you might as well be wearing a neon sign on your chest because it's obvious to people what your message is. When you are working for peace and justice, your message is as readable as one of those being pulled along by an airplane. When you're living a deep spiritual life of compassion and consciousness, you need no advertisement for people to know it. All they have to do is look into your eyes and listen to your words. Speaking of wearing a neon sign on your chest, one thing one must say about the summer is the t-shirts come out in full force, and I see some of you have worn yours today. Sure, they're comfortable, but more times than not, they have something to say for us, and t-shirts are one way to get your message across. What Reverend McGee and I love about t-shirts is that they're so revealing. Usually when you see someone in normal clothes, you have no idea what that person is like, what they believe, where they've been, what they love. But when you wear a t-shirt, it's as if you're saying, this is who I am, even if it's pretty weird. T-shirts are a way for us to make a statement about life. In our day-to-day lives, we're surrounded by commercialism and superficiality. Just think about it. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, there's advertisements, commercials, ads, company logos, trying to get us to buy more stuff. On television, radio, in papers, magazines, on our computers, at sporting events, even on many of our clothes, we advertise company wares. We are constantly being bombarded by sales pitches which proclaim, in one way or another, you are what you buy. The church is one of the few places you can escape the corporate hawkers. We're lucky there's not a Microsoft ad in the order of service, or a Verizon cell phone logo in the hymnals, or a just do it slogan on the pulpit. Certainly not all t-shirts are appropriate. There's a cartoon that shows a sign of a long stairway with many people in line and clouds floating about. The sign reads, "Wait here for final judgment." The second man in line is thinking, "Today, I just had to wear this t-shirt today." His t-shirt reads, "Holier than thou." We do need to be careful in choosing our t-shirts because they are a way that we tell the world who we are. It might be an image of a place that's sacred to us, or a photo of someone we love, or a work of art we appreciate, or my favorite, a message about what we believe. What is your message? Hopefully we wear the message that tells the world what we find meaningful and purposeful in our lives. Or perhaps a shirt just makes us laugh. Or perhaps it's a vehement protest against that which is life-denying and prejudicial. We should be letting the world know what we believe and why we believe it in any and every way we can. Otherwise, we abdicate our responsibility to take a stand for our values and thus allow those who are working against our values to dominate society. We don't want to be so tolerant that we tolerate the intolerant. Some of us are shy about letting the world know what we believe, but why not be proud of our convictions, proud enough to let our credo shine? Reverend McGee's favorite t-shirts, as you might have guessed, have to do with religion. There are many traditional Christian messages and symbols, usually of a fundamentalist nature, but he has more appreciation for those that are more unique. More often these days, one sees pagan t-shirts about. One says, "Born again pagan." There's one with a picture of Stonehenge on it that says, "Give me that old time religion." Another one asks the intriguing question, "Are you a good witch or a bad witch?" Another articulate t-shirt is one that reads, "Religion is for people afraid of going to hell. Spirituality is for people who've already been there." Reverend McGee interprets the meaning, of course, is that many people cling to institutional religion out of fear of damnation, whereas those who have suffered and faced their suffering courageously are the ones who have learned to live meaningful spiritual lives. Some t-shirts portray religious heroes, such as the Unitarian Universalist ones of Thomas Jefferson, Susan B. Anthony, Adlai Stevenson, and Olympia Brown. Another t-shirt lists heretic in good company, including Galileo, Saint Joan of Arc, Matthew Fox, Copernicus, and of course, Jesus of Nazareth. I like the one with this quote, the church says the earth is flat, but I know that it is round, for I have seen the shadow on the moon, and I have more faith in a shadow than in the church. You know who said that? Ferdinand Magellan, first one to sail around the world. He should know. One of McGee's favorite religious messages is love the questions. The German poet Rainer Rilke once advised a younger poet to cherish his deepest questions. "Learn to love the questions," he said, "and then live the questions now." Perhaps what distinguishes Unitarian Universalists from other faith communities more than anything else. We are much better at asking the questions than coming up with the answers. Or as Rilke put it, we live our way into the answers. Our faith demands that we ask the hard questions about religion and spirituality, as well as politics and society, and that we craft our own answers that come from our lived experiences and from our mind and heart. We believe that if you don't ask the right questions, you can never find the right answers. You might say that we Unitarian Universalists don't have to have all the answers, but we believe that we can keep learning from experience so we have a growing, changing, evolving faith, said Reverend Frank Hall. We can't know all the answers, but we can keep asking questions. One part of life is that it's a big question mark. Oh, it's a wonderful mystery. After we try to give an answer to someone's question, we might say, "So what do you think?" We believe in listening. As Unitarian Universalists, we look to many sources for wisdom. For some, the Hebrew Bible is one of these. For the song we sang, "Turn, Turn, Turn," Pete Seeger selected the words from Koheleth, the Hebrew name of a biblical wisdom book. You may know it from its Greek name, Ecclesiastes. Both words mean teacher or preacher, a wise sage. For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The complete text is often used at funerals because it acknowledges the rhythm of life and death. It's also used at rallies to protest particular wars. But this scripture, written in the 4th century, has meaning beyond funerals and wars. Just like our song, its original author wrote of life as pairs of opposites. He was not indicating that one was good and the other bad, because there's a time when either can be good or bad, wrote Allison Wilbur Eskildsen. The biblical text includes 7 pairs of opposites. He, and she said he because most Hebrew sages were men, he may have added an 8th pair, a time to work and a time to play. But in fact, the biblical text on either side of the song focused on these very subjects. Labor Day weekend is our season, our time to consider work and workers. And as we leave behind summertime play, it seems appropriate to reflect upon these themes. I hope, other than your t-shirts, you wore your sandals or flip-flops sometime this summer. If so, you know that summer is a time for lightening up, a time for relaxing a little bit. It's no mistake that our newspapers give us lists for beach reading, no heavy political tomes, just fun mysteries and romance novels. Though one of the books that's making the rounds this summer is Michael Dowd's Thank God for Evolution. His wife Connie Barlow will be speaking next Sunday with Reverend Green. But I digress. Back to summer and Labor Day. Even our summer clothes are light and playful. We trade our dark, heavy suits for colorful shorts and bathing suits. When some of us were children back in the 60s, there was a rule to Labor Day. It was the time to put away your whites, your white shoes and purses, your white dresses and shorts. Is there anyone here today who still feels like they're making a social faux pas when wearing white after Labor Day? Oh, how the past haunts us. Though times have changed, tomorrow we change over to winter white. Summer is the Sabbath, or the rest of the year, time of the year, just as Sunday is the Sabbath time of the week. Summer ends and autumn approaches rapidly. On September 22nd, just a few short weeks away, the fall equinox will occur. This is when the light of day is equal to dark of night. Not until winter solstice in late December will daylight begin to increase. As religious people have done throughout the ages, we note the celestial turnings and its meaning in our lives. Just as there's a time for day and a time for night, let's turn back to the source of the song's biblical text for some illumination. To set the stage for the words we sang, the author writes of his quest for the meaning of human life. It was this quest that led him to understand, indeed, there is a time for every matter under heaven. He discovered this by first leading a life of pleasure. He sampled all that life had to offer. He gave it his best shot. But he realized that pleasure is transitory. It's a vanity, and a chasing after wind. Of pleasure, what use is it, he asks. We sometimes yearn for a life of pleasure, but I think we know it wouldn't sustain us for long. The author next tries a life of toil with the intent of accumulating wealth and prestige, but that too was empty, for he realized you can't take wealth with you when you die. And again he writes, "Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had spent doing it, and I realized all was chasing after wind and vanity." We seek wealth and comfort too, but wealth for wealth's sake, I think we know, cannot be meaningful, said Eskenson. The author next pursued wisdom, thinking that mankind's purpose, but eventually of wisdom he writes that the wise die just like the foolish, and each generation must learn its wisdom anew. And so he despaired and hated life. With no other purpose for life evident, he thought labor must be with the business God has given us to keep busy. This is not a satisfactory for purpose for living for him or for us. He asks again, what do mortals get from all the toil and strain? For their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. Is this not a question you have asked? Have you not considered these very points this wise teacher raises? Although this was written in the 4th century, it sounds like it could have been written today. What is the meaning of life? What is our purpose? Why are we born? Just to die? Our author comes to a wise conclusion. Perhaps this is your conclusion. He says, there's nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil. Does anyone have a t-shirt that reads, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die? I had one. I wore it to death. This is a more hedonistic version and approach to life than our ancient teacher intended, for remember he had earlier discovered the emptiness of pleasure. Instead, he meant that we should play, that's the eating and drinking part, but that we should also find merriment or enjoyment in our toil. Let's return to our biblical sage. He concludes by emphasizing again that in the face of life is the only certainty, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it's God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. As Unitarian Universalists, however we may envision God, if we envision God, we affirm this view. This is the only life we can be certain that exists. That's not to say there isn't something more. Many people believe our spirits or souls return or live on, but we can't be sure. This nearly 1,600-year-old approach to how we lead our lives may not be terribly deep or rocket science, but it still makes sense for us today. A lesson for us is not to lead our lives for an end, but for accumulation. Instead, we should enjoy life's journey. Consider your work and your play and the meaning of your life, for your journey does matter. I hope you have work, that you find meaning, and if it vexes you, that you seek out something that will give you more satisfaction. Physical labor can be meaningful, as can mental labor. Our labor, our work, may or may not be paid work. It's not pay alone that gives our work meaning or gives us the satisfaction we seek in our work. I hope your volunteerism in this fellowship and in the larger community brings you meaning and satisfaction. We must be able to walk that narrow line between being proud of our beliefs and values and working for peace and justice, while at the same time being humble enough not to demonize those who disagree with us and even be willing to learn from them. T-shirts are a way to let our life-enhancing values shine, to express our opinions and beliefs, our hopes and dreams, our anger and sense of humor. Our faith ultimately is luminous only in our actions. How we live our lives, how we love one another and our planet, and how we go about liberating those who are in bondage. The definitive t-shirt, the most profound sermon, is what we bring to this life that we've been given. Summer has ended. It's time to put away our toys. Everything has its season. Although we can't take what we accumulate in life with us, we can leave behind us a better world. Just as there's a time for weeping and laughter, there's a time to make a difference. The purpose of church is to call people to serve. The primary reason we are here in this fellowship is to create a community of compassion that reaches out beyond ourselves to the community, to the world, and to future generations. This is our heart. This is our soul. All else flows from this purpose. Dropping a few bucks in the plate when we collect for a good cause, or writing a letter now and then to your elected official, isn't enough. We are called to give up ourselves in the name of love to those who suffer. We are called to reach out to those around us and around the world who need not only our love, but our acts of compassion and justice. May we make the transition to the next trapeze bar smoothly. In the end, it's up to you. You must decide not only to be present here, but to bring your presence, your passion, your skills and commitment to making this a religious community that helps us to become full, loving, healing, justice-seeking human beings. In the words of the great Unitarian abolitionist minister Theodore Parker, "Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living." May this next year challenge us to live and work to the fullest of our capacity, and may we make the most of the transition zone before our next trapeze bar. May it be so.